Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, little Johnny went with his family to a wedding one day, and they're sitting in the back row waiting for the wedding to start. And as you know, a 5-6 year old, they're very rambunctious. They have a lot of energy. They want to move around a lot. And so little Johnny was being pretty noisy. And he wouldn't sit down, and he's just driving his family nuts because they know if they don't get him seated now, they're not going to get him seated during the wedding. And so they're trying everything. But please, just sit down, little Johnny. And he wouldn't. So finally, it got to the point where his dad just did the dad thing and is like, if you don't sit down right now, when we get home, your life is not going to be happy. And so little Johnny, he gets this look on his face, you know, this just sad. Well, it's kind of like this, you know, this is kind of the look that he had on his face there. And as he sits down on his butt and he looks at his dad and he says, I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. And you know, we laugh because anybody that's ever been around little kids and has had to get them to sit still, you know that this is the kind of obedience you're probably getting, right? Like, I don't want to, but I guess I will, because I know you're bigger than me and you can take away my toys. So I'll do it. But the funny thing is that never actually goes away, does it? Like, you're an adult now, but I know adults, you get pulled over for speeding, and you're like, crazy. Why are you pulling people over for speeding? You know, you're just grumbling. It's the law. It's the law. You broke the law. You broke the rules. Now you're in trouble. You know? But no. We complain about how slow the speed limit is. We complain we have to do this. We complain that we have to do that, don't we? When we obey, we're like, why? Why do I have to listen? Or we read our Bible, or, you know, the pastor gets up and he tells us something out of the Bible. We're like, I don't like that. I don't like that. Or maybe you've been here in this situation. I know I have, where your friends are going out and they're going to go and do something, right? They're going to a new party. They're going out to whatever it is that they're doing, that you just are like, that's not what I believe that I should be doing, right? I don't think that that's a good situation, a good thing for me to go to. That movie, it just doesn't meet my standards, whatever it is. But at the same time, you're like, but I really want to go. Right, I really wish that I could go and I could do those things. It looks so much fun. Look at them. They all talk about these stories that they can't even remember last night because they had so much fun. I don't know how they remember that they had fun, but it must have been fun. I don't remember it. Like, it sounds so much fun. And everybody's going out and they're doing what they want to do. Or maybe it's actually that the thing that you want to do just isn't the thing you know is right. Have you ever been there? Like, I know that this thing isn't right, but I really, really want to do it. And so what happens? Maybe we grumble, or maybe we begin to make excuses. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been like, well, you know what? I am saved by grace. So it's not by what I do. Jesus has already done it all, and so I can do whatever I want now. Doesn't matter. Or we go, well, it's just the culture. And if I want to be able to impact people in this culture or understand the culture, then I need to be a part of it. I need to be out there doing these things too, because how else are people going to know about Jesus unless I'm there doing things with them? Or here's one. You know, anybody with kids, you may have heard this one. It's really not that bad, right? You know, I know I've done this in the past. I've been like, yeah, this movie, it was so good. But let me qualify that by saying there was like, you know, 120 F-bombs in the movie. And so, okay, it wasn't that bad though, you know? Or there's this one, which I believe is truly lethal. No one will ever know. No one will ever know. You know what's even harder, though, than just obeying and not making excuses and all these things? It's obeying joyfully. It's not being the kid with the grumpy face, but joyfully saying, this is what God has for me. This is what is right. This is what the governing authorities have said that the laws of the land are. And so I'm not just going to obey them. I'm not just going to live by what God has desired me to do, but I'm going to do it joyfully. Joyfully, even when I'm tempted by disobedience. That's the challenge. See, I can go out and I can do the right thing in any situation, really, if I work myself up to it. But to be joyful, oh man, that's tough. And so maybe you're here in this place today and you're like, yeah, joyful obedience, that would be something interesting. To do the right thing and actually be happy I'm doing it. Like, tell me more. Or maybe you're actually just wondering, hey, I don't understand why you Christians do these things. Like, why do you get up every Sunday morning and go to church and gather together? What's the deal with that? Like, why don't you guys do these other things? Why do you say that you're free, but then you're like, well, I shouldn't do that? What's the deal here? And so today I'm going to invite you all to just lean in. If you've got these questions in your mind, if you want to know more about obedience and being joyful in that, that's what we're going to talk about here today. And so I'm going to invite you to just stick with me for the next 20 or so minutes as we talk about this. But first I want to pray, because I believe that I need God. I need his help. I think that we all need his help as we listen here today. We've all got short attention spans, and so let's ask for some help in that area. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come before you and that we can learn about joy. Lord, in the midst of all the things that we have going on in life today, Lord, I ask that you will well up joy in our lives, that you'll help us to hear the things that are said today, and that you'll just open our minds and open our hearts to what it is, that we'll be impacted by it, Lord God. But Lord, that we won't take my word for it, but that we'll do our own study. That we'll take this before you in prayer to check that it is, in fact, truth. Because, Lord, it's so easy to be led astray. Today, God, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to be looking at the book of Philippians. If you have a paper Bible with you and you like to follow along in that, you're welcome to turn there right now. If you have a mobile device or an internet-connected device with you, you can go to ascc.life and tap on message notes. You'll be able to take your own notes there, follow along with what we're reading, and all kinds of little goodies there. So go ahead and do that. Or if you're just the kind of person that's like, hey, I'm here, isn't that enough? You know what? Everything's going to be on the screen behind me, so you can follow along that way as well. We have been going through this very interesting book of the Bible, Philippians. Really, Philippians is a letter that the Apostle Paul, along with a pastor named Timothy, wrote to this church in Philippi. And what I find so fascinating about the book of Philippians is that Paul is actually under arrest right now by the Romans. And so he writes this letter, and here's the thing that blows my mind. Throughout the whole letter, he talks about joy and about rejoicing as he's in prison. Like, that is not what my attitude would likely be if I was in prison. But he's just like, in all this stuff, in all the things that happen, joy. And you need to have joy too. And so today we're coming to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be reading starting in verse 12 if you want to follow along with me. And so this is what Paul writes here. He says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life then. On the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy." I think that Paul hits on something really interesting here. He's like, I get it. You guys are obedient people. It's good to listen to what God has to say. And I've been teaching you what God has to say. And we believe here in church that this book here, that it was written by an assortment of people who were impacted by the Holy Spirit of God, who inspired the words that we read here, that this is authoritative over our lives. And that it teaches us that it's living, that it's breathing, and that it works in us. That one person can approach it and they'll get just touched by something. It'll be like, this is something that you need to work on. This is an encouragement for your life. Someone else will read the same passage and it'll work in their life in some slightly different way. Because as believers in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit in us helping bring the words to life in us and interpreting them for us. And so Paul says, listen, I've been teaching you these things. You know that it's important to obey the commands of God. But man, you know, it's one thing to obey when someone's there, but it's another thing to obey when they're not. You know what I mean? Like here in church, you're probably not going to run out and do a whole lot of things in this group right now that you know are wrong. You're going to be like, well, There's a lot of people here that could hold me accountable. See, it's when you're alone, or it's when you're with people that don't believe the way that you do, that suddenly it becomes a lot harder, isn't it? I believe that true character is shown in those moments where there's no one around. You know? Youth in the room, your true character is going to be shown when you and your girlfriend or you and your boyfriend are alone coming home from your date in that car. That's when the true character is going to be shown. Your true character is going to be shown when you're all by yourself in front of the computer. That's when your true character is going to be shown. Because it's one thing to do what is right when there's people around you. But it's a whole nother thing when you don't have that encouragement and that support and that accountability right there to carry on in doing what is right, to carry on in the truth. Now I want to make very, very clear here, because we read this thing and it could be misconstrued where Paul says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. And some people might be tempted to go, see that? See that? My salvation is contingent on me working hard. I got to do the right thing. You know, I got to go to church every single week, because if I don't, God's going to be mad at me. You know, if I lie to my friend, then my salvation's at risk. But what we see here is that no, we're not saved by what we do, but our salvation will change us. We believe as a church that Jesus changes everything, and that when you begin to follow Jesus and turn from the things that you once did and begin to live in a way that you believe that he desires you to live, you're going to see that things begin to change. And so naturally, as a result of the grace that you have received from Jesus, your actions are going to become different. And so you're going to work out your salvation. It's not that you're working out to get your salvation, but that you are taking the things that come as a result of your salvation and you're putting them into practice. But you might be thinking, that still sounds like a lot of work. It sounds like a lot of work to obey. Pastor Stephen, I saw that Bible that you're holding. That's a big book. You're saying that's the rule book? First of all, I prefer not to think of this as a rule book. I actually believe that this is a document from God where he begins to share who he is to us, where he shares his plan for us and who he made us to be, and the redemptive story of his great love, and in fact, how he's going to set everything right at the very end of time as well. This is a wonderful book. And yes, there's things in here where he tells us this is the way that somebody that follows me lives, because that's how I designed you to live, in a way that pleases me and honors me. But man, this isn't just a rule book. This is a document for life. But it still seems hard, and it still is hard. Here's the great thing, though. Paul says, not only will God help you obey him, but he'll give you the desire to obey him. See, there's a big difference between trying to go and do the right thing because dad said so, and doing the right thing because you want to please him. And there's a whole lot of people in this world, a whole lot of people in the Christian church as a whole, that are walking around like little Johnny. And on the outside, they're doing what's right, but on the inside, they're fantasizing about all the things that they could be doing differently, all the ways that they could be having more fun. And you know what? Those people are really grumpy. They're really, really grumpy, and they're not a whole lot of fun, because they'll look at you and they'll be like, no, I can't do that because God said no. Instead of just being like, no, I want to honor God. I love God. And see, this is the great thing about Christian faith, is that Jesus, when he died and when he rose again, he left here to go with it to his Father, but he said, I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. So if you follow me, the Holy Spirit of God is going to live within you, and he's going to give you the strength and the ability to do what's right. He's going to be transforming you. He's cleaning house. He's giving you strength. And so you don't have to do this alone, but you have the strength of God in you, and he's going to give you that desire. He's going to give you that ability. But you still may find it interesting, you know, work out your faith with reverence and fear. What's the deal with that? I believe that as we recognize the holiness and power of God, and as we understand what he's done for us in his love, that we'll desire more and more to please him. So you need to understand that this world, as beautiful of a place it is, as it is, when you turn on the news, you see that it's pretty messed up too. God made a really great place, and he said, hey, humanity, I made you in my image, and you're going to be my image bearers to the world. You're going to be rulers in my place. And we're going to have this relationship together. But this weird thing happened. Humanity decided that this relationship with God, and being his regents here on earth, caring for what he had made, it wasn't good enough. And we strove to become like gods ourselves. We disobeyed him. We rebelled against him. You could say that we committed treason of the highest order against the Most High God, the King of Kings. And because of that, the curse of sin and death entered the world. And since that time, every person has been born with this sinful nature. Now, sin, in case you're wondering, it's actually a term from archery. And it's this idea of missing the mark. This bullseye in the middle of that target, that is what God created humanity for. And the perfect God who created us perfectly, when we go outside that mark, is like a slap in the face to him. But rather than being like a little kid who messes up on their Lego design and breaks it all apart and rebuilds it, God decided, you know what? No, I love these people, and we're going to keep on going. In fact, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come to earth for them. We talked last week about how Jesus, who though in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but humbled himself and took on the form of a human being, the form of a slave, born as a lowly human being in a carpenter's family in some backwater village. And though he was innocent, though he was sinless, died a criminal's death, and in that moment took upon himself your sin, your rejection of God. Everything that meant. He created a bridge between you and God, so that when you follow him, when you turn from that sin and say, I'm going to follow Jesus, there is life and forgiveness, and in fact, there is adoption as sons and daughters of the King of the universe. And that right there is the reason why we rejoice. That right there is the reason why we say, man, it is an honor to serve God. And you see, I believe that as you're impacted by this truth, and as you open yourself to desire and obey God more and more, he's going to build up that desire more and more in you. Have you ever noticed that when you do the right thing, or you decide that something's really important in your life, that all of a sudden it actually becomes more and more and more important, and it becomes easier and easier and easier to do? I truly believe that that's the way that God works in our lives. As we begin to desire God things, he helps us desire them even more. We've been saying for the last few weeks, when your focus is on yourself, happiness is dictated by your situation. When your focus is on Jesus, joy is found in every situation. See, when it's all about me and it's all about feeling good inside and my comfort and my ability, man, yeah, I can find something fun to do and be happy for a moment, but as soon as things don't turn out for my benefit, for my betterment, I'm miserable. Have you ever been there? Yeah, you make all these plans and then things go sideways. It's just like, this is the worst ever. I'm not happy now. I don't like this. I want out of this. But man, when your focus is on glorifying Jesus, just like we talked about a few weeks ago, where Paul is in prison, but he says, I'm still joyful because I know that God is using this. I've been able to impact the guards. People have been inspired by my willingness to be joyful in the midst of struggle. And so the gospel of Jesus is being preached, and he found joy in this because his focus was on Jesus. You see, Jesus enables you to reframe success around pleasing God. When you're seeking after your own happiness, you're trying to climb the corporate ladder, right? You're trying to get ahead in life. You want more possessions. You want more things. You want more experiences. You want to do whatever is going to make you feel good. That's success in our life. But Jesus enables us to begin to reframe that success around pleasing God, around our lives being a fragrant offering to him. And as we live for him, even in the midst of struggles, we can know these struggles aren't for nothing because they please God. And that, friends, is success. That is success. You see, your obedience will make an impact on those around you, especially when it's joyful, right? That's why he says you're going to shine like lights in the darkness. Have you ever bought one of those little power bar things? You know, you plug it into the wall and then it gives you more stuff, and you usually need them in your bedroom because you have too many things that you're charging nowadays, and it always needs to be right next to your bed. And I made the mistake of buying one of those and putting it on the plug right next to my bed. Now, our room's pretty dark, but they put this little tiny LED on that stupid thing. And all of a sudden, my room is no longer dark because of this little tiny LED. And as obnoxious as that is, that gives you an example. You've been there. I'm not the only one that's done this, right? You plug it in, you're like, what is that light coming from? So you're getting out duct tape and you're going, oh, duct tape is fibrous. It takes like 10 pieces of duct tape to totally block the light. Then you're moving it around, or you just throw it out the window and get a new one, and that one has some LED that you didn't even see. Like, it's a horrible, horrible thing when you're trying to sleep in the dark and there's light everywhere. Just a little tiny light. And you notice it because light shines in the darkness. And when you are joyfully obedient for God, people are going to look at you and they're going to go, you're weird. You're weird. And friends, let me tell you, if you're following Jesus joyfully and you don't have people from time to time say, you're weird. Why are you doing that? Or why aren't you doing this? Then frankly, you may be skipping out on some things. You may not actually be joyfully obedient in your life. You might be saying, you know what? Let's have an excuse for this one. Let's just get around this one here. Because as followers of Jesus, we're called to be a little bit different than the world. And as we shine like lights in the darkness, it's going to have an impact on those around us. And obedience pleases Jesus, as does sharing the message of hope with others. His message of love with others. See, he's commissioned all of us to be ministers of the good news. If you have the greatest knowledge in the world, the key to everything in the universe, and it could be shared freely without losing it. In fact, it would grow if you shared it. Wouldn't you share that? And we have that. And yet so many of us are so tight-lipped. See, friends, I believe that as we seek to please God and as he increases our ability and our desire to do so, it won't matter what opposition or temptation that we face, because we can face it without complaining or arguing. Instead, we can just rejoice that we can please and honor our God who gave himself to save us. Let me close with this story. When I was in Bible college, my wife and I were going out or engaged. She's the one that remembers the dates. I don't. So, you know, ask her which one it was. We were going out or engaged, like I said. And I was working at Tim Hortons for a time because when you're a Bible college student, you need money, but you can't really work at a normal place because you're in school during the day. And so when I was hired at Tim Hortons, they gave me this little application. And on the application, there were boxes for when your availability is on various days. And when I went to work at Tim Hortons, I put a big old X through Sunday. Now, what ended up happening was after a month or two of working at Tim Hortons, it was interesting. I looked at the schedule that was posted, and I was scheduled for a whole lot of Sundays. And so I went into the manager's office, and I said, listen, I shouldn't be scheduled for Sundays. That's a day that I've set aside for worshiping God. That's a day that I've set aside for my family. And I said when I was hired that I wasn't available for that day. And my manager looked at me and she said, well, everybody wants Sundays off and I can't give it to everybody. And so I just really can't. And I said, well, you might not have me working here anymore if you don't. Now you have to understand that I was brought up that you work hard and that you show up on time. And in a place like Tim Hortons, that's like a very rare thing. And so they didn't want to lose me. And she said, well, if you finish out the Sunday that we have you scheduled for, then, you know, we'll make an effort not to schedule you anymore. But I really can't promise it. And so I went home and then I phoned Em and we were talking. And she's like, well, you can't do that. Like, you made a commitment to God. That's His day. You set that day aside to God. And so here's what happened. I show up to work on Sunday, and I'm starting to work, and my manager comes up to me, and she's like, you didn't swipe in. So we had this swipe-in system. You swipe in, you swipe out, and the computer figures out how much you're making. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, because I am not here to work on Sunday. I want to honor God, and so I'm volunteering my time this Sunday. And after that, I'm not working any more Sundays. And she looked at me with the funniest look I have ever seen someone give me in my entire life, and here's what she said. What religion are you? Now, first of all, there's a problem if I'm the only person that she's ever met who's a Christian, who she's had this experience with, and yet here it was in the midst of all of this, going against the tide. I could lose my job. I could, you know, bad things could happen here. I decide to work for free out of obedience to God, and somehow I managed to do it joyfully as well, possibly because I knew I didn't have to work Sundays after this. And it made an impact. It shone like a light in the darkness. And let me tell you, friends, I can't say that. I'm working right now, aren't I? I have not worked a non-church related job on Sunday since. It's amazing the opportunities that come up when we're just obedient. When we're just obedient. See, friends, here at Abundant Springs, I truly believe that God has laid on my heart, we need to reach 600 people with the love of Jesus by the end of the year 2020. That's what I want our church to do. That's what I want every one of you to do. And the only way it's going to happen is if we shine like lights in the darkness. Let me go further. God has laid on my heart that by the end of 2020, He wants us to see 20 new, vibrant disciples who are fruitful, following Him, sharing their faith, growing in their faith by that same time. Now, some of you might be thinking, that's not big enough. And others of you may be thinking, are you insane? And let me tell you, it's a little bit of both. And the only way that we're going to get there is if all of us begin to live joyfully with our focus set on Christ. It's the only way. It's the only way. And so here today, if I haven't scared you off by talking about joy in obedience, and if I haven't scared you off by telling you that you have to reframe your existence around Jesus to have that joy in obedience, but that when you do, He'll give you the strength and the desire to serve Him, then here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you the first step that you need to make toward joyful obedience. Just the first step. What's the first step? We can all take one step. There's an old movie called Baby Steps, and there was this guy, and he was told by his counselor, just take baby steps, and you walk around all the time, just baby steps, baby steps. So take the first step. Ask the Holy Spirit, what's that first step that I need to take toward joyful obedience? And maybe the first step today is that you need to learn to follow Jesus, that you need to just allow him to be the center of your life, that you need to accept this gift of eternal life that he has offered us today. And so in just a moment, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to pray a prayer that is you committing to him. This prayer isn't anything magical. In fact, it's the last thing that it is. This prayer only means anything if truly in your heart you believe what you pray in the prayer. And in fact, if you do, then you're a follower of Jesus before you even pray this prayer. This is a prayer of commitment and thanksgiving to God. It's just saying, God, this is where I'm at. I want to follow you, and I just thank you. This is what I'm doing. And so we're going to pray that in just a moment. So as you consider in your heart right now, if you want to pray that prayer, if you want to follow Jesus and accept this challenge to begin to live a life that is centered on him and the joy that comes with that, then I'm going to give you an opportunity in a second. Everybody else, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes right now as we pray together. Heavenly Father, will you just build up joy within us? I know it's not easy, Lord. I know that there are a lot of things in life that it feels like maybe we're missing out on. But God, right now, will you just begin to strip away all those outside things, Lord God? All those things that make us so that we're so focused on ourselves and how we can derive happiness from our situation. And Lord, will you begin to reframe our lives around your joy? Right now in this place, will you just, with your heads bowed, begin to ask the Holy Spirit to show you that first step that you need to take towards joyful obedience. And as you do that, just all around this place, I'm going to invite anyone here and anyone online that wants to make this commitment to Jesus to just pray this simple prayer after me. Prayer is just talking to God. And here it is. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I deserve the consequence of my sin. But I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross and raising again. And thank you for loving me and saving me. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to do this work in my life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, there's a blue card in the seat back in front of you. What that blue card does, if you'll fill that out and put it in the offering plate when it goes by in just a moment here, it's going to help us know who you are so we can follow up with you and make sure that you're not going through this journey you're setting out on alone. Because the Christian faith is not something that's just about me. It's not just about you, but it's all of us together as the body of Christ. Living for him, encouraging one another, teaching each other, holding each other up in prayer, and supporting one another as we go forward into what God has for us. If you're online, you can fill that out at ascc.life and tap on Get Connected, and you can do that there. We'll follow up with you a little bit later in the week.